And I'll tell you why. In the very nature of things, on a lot of the visits I've made to Nigeria, especially when Gabriel was the district superintendent, he was often very busy. You know, church administration doesn't stop just because somebody comes from overseas. And cases and problems in the church don't stop. And so over the years, I've spent quite a lot of time talking to Gracefield. I like that time after morning prayers, when prayers have ended at about 20 to 7, and we greet each other and say good morning. And then one of the lovely people from the household turns up with that most blessed of drinks, tea. And we just sit there over the early morning tea, which can go on for an hour or more. Those have often been the times when we've sort of chatted. And I said, well, what do you mean by this? Or you said such and such and such and such, but what actually happened? You know, how does that work? You say that the devil appeared. Well, how did he appear? Why? What made you thought he appeared? So I think I've given it a third degree of questioning. But I have found that really quite helpful. And so without further ado, as they say in Nigeria, and without wishing to take up too much of your time, I'm just going to pray and then you're going to take us forward. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the rich and varied ministry from your word, which we have received so far. And we want to pray for Gracefield now as she comes to talk to us and to help us to pray and to be practical about the whole matter of deliverance. We want to pray for her, asking, Lord, that you would really give her your wisdom at this time. Lord, we just pray for any who are still on their way, coming down from football or whatever. We pray, Father, that as they join, they'll quickly be able to tune in to what the rest of us have been hearing. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good evening, all. Hope you had a nice day. We also had a nice day in Ashburnham. Praise God. When I say praise God, respond with hallelujah. It encourages the speaker. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Going to read Ephesians chapter 6. We shall read verses 10 to 18. Ephesians 6. I think we'll all read together as was done yesterday. Okay, let's start one go. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle with flesh and blood against principalities, against powers, against the rulers, darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto, with all perseverance, supplications. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our heart in the name of Jesus. The issue of satanic forces and attacks was widely dealt with by my husband yesterday scripturally. When I came here first, Dennis wanted me to give a testimony, which I did. So people were just looking at me as if, where did this one come from? Because I had been a victim of satanic forces oppressing my life. When I was born as a child, I started experiencing some wrong things happening in my life. One of it is that I hear voices talking to me. The next thing that happens to me, in the night when I sleep, all my dreams, I see myself inside water. I saw snakes playing with me. And I didn't know what it was. I told my mom that every night, even if it's in the afternoon that I sleep, I see myself inside water, playing with snakes and all that. And I was often very sickly. So my mom did so many, because my father died when I was still in the womb. So my mom had to take me to various places, to prayer houses. Over there in Nigeria, we have prayer houses. We have native doctors that they see things. And so each place we go, they keep on seeing. They said it's called mermaid from water, disturbing my life. If I am well this week, next week I'll be sick. I keep on going to hospital. I keep on going for different prayers. It didn't work. But one day, I was invited to Assemblies of God Church to Odukpani Road, where my husband was the young pastor in that place. He ministered the word of God, and the Lord appeared to me. I surrendered my life to Jesus. That was the end of my problems. As I got back home, in fact, my own was so special that with salvation, the Lord also baptized me with the Holy Spirit, because I saw his revelation right there in the church. He was giving out balls of fire, like tennis ball, giving it to people, and they were praying, they were falling on the ground. I've not had this kind of experience before. When I held him that he should give me, he gave me two balls of light and told me I was called into the ministry. And I saw myself rolling on the ground and speaking in tongues that I never knew. I was speaking in tongues till I get home. Even my mother was confused. Because of this, she decided to come to the church and make trouble with my husband. I said, "What have they done to me?" They said, "It's American wonder. Why did I leave Roman Catholic Church to go to this place that they have turned my head?" Because whatever they were asking me, before I opened my mouth, I burst into tongues. My mom shouted and called everybody. So on Sunday, she decided to join me and come and see the pastor that has turned my head. But there was something spectacular. She discovered that the screaming in the night had stopped. I was not screaming any longer. I slept fine. So from that particular Sunday, it was a Sunday evening, to the next Sunday evening, my mom decided now to come and fight with my husband, that he had confused me. But when she came, she too heard the word of God. And because when she came in, she started asking questions. "Where is the pastor that, who is the pastor here?" Sunday school was here, a teacher was teaching, Sunday school was another part, teaching the young people, the young women. So my mom was shouting, "Who is the pastor? Who is pastor among you? Who confused her brain? I want to know. She's speaking stupid language we don't understand." But when she came in, they begged her to sit down. Pastor would come. It might interest you to know our church then was just a small parlor that had 53 members inside. So he had four stations He had to go to where they call it Korekpo and preach. He has to go to 10 miles and preach. He has to go to Korabas, your body, before he come and he will come and preach in his own church. So when he came, there was no space. He had to come through the window. He came through the window straight to where he should stand and preach, and he started preaching. So my mom had no chance to talk. And you know what he spoke on? The day that God died. I mean, a better country called heaven. My own was the day that God died. He preached and talked about how Jesus died and resurrected. In my mom's time was a better country called heaven. And my mom, when as he was preaching, he said, "Yes, I am the person, I'm coming. I don't want to go to hell." Because he talked about hell and heaven. So mommy came straight to the altar, knelt down, surrendered her life to Jesus. And one of the things that kept her in faith was that no more spending. So I gave my heart to the Lord. That satanic spirit that was following me and hearing voices coming in, a woman would come in and begin to talk to me. I don't know who she is. What helped me was that I was not yielding to it. I knew that this is strange because others were not having this kind of problem. But when I surrendered my life to Jesus and the Holy Spirit came upon me, my life was changed. And up till now, I don't have such problems. So I want to let you know that spiritual warfare is what we need because demons are real. Forces of darkness are real. And that's why I want to talk a little on weapons of warfare to deal with demons and forces of darkness. Where we have read now lists to us the different weapons God has given to us in this spiritual warfare. I don't want to go into preaching about it because my husband had talked much about it yesterday. The weapons that are listed in this Ephesians chapter 6, where we have read from verses 10, is what God had put in our disposal to deal with spiritual warfare. And I want to tell you, if you can't win spiritually, it's not easy for you to win physically. Every child of God should know that there are hosts of wickedness that fight against us daily. And that is why the scripture has told us here why we need these weapons, because we are not fighting against flesh and blood. We are fighting against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. In fact, by the grace of God, for all these years in the ministry, at least I've been in the ministry for 37 years now, we have seen so much of this world we are living in and forces of darkness that attacks people. If you don't have this experience or you see it, it may sound, what are they talking about? But I want you to know that these are realities, you know. We need these weapons that has been listed, which I'll talk about, because evil powers are real. Because the devil himself attacks us. He attacks our finances. He attacks our health. In fact, my first daughter, when she was in secondary school, she became sick. And when I got to school, I was told that what was her problem was that she has ulcer. Some of us are not aware of a lot of names of sicknesses. It's as I grow older, I begin to hear diabetes, hypertension, cancer. I didn't even know what cancer meant until somebody that had cancer came to my house and showed me she was coming to hospital, you know. So when the name ulcer was mentioned, because the sickness we know that worried my family is malaria. We didn't know another one. So what is ulcer? We took her to hospital. They said she should be taking what they call Xanta. I have not forgotten it. And a poor minister, we were paid very little money. And Zantac is costing 1,000 naira. How will we be able to buy a pack 1,000 when our salary was 2,700 naira then? So if you use 1,000 to buy Zantac, you are left with 1,007. Is it what you will use and eat? That is 10 pounds. Either 10 pounds or 7 pounds. So how will we live with our large family? We keep on spending. They'll call us, come and pick her. We'll come and pick her. We go to hospital. They say, Zanta. We struggle and struggle. Then they will bring her in 3 weeks. After, it became 2 weeks. After, it became every 1 week. The next one now is 3 days. Ha! When she was brought, we now discover that this is nothing but attack from the enemy. We were told that children who don't eat well, but by the grace of God, we gave the matron in the school some money to cook for them, apart from what they eat in the school. And pastors in Nigeria, in our denomination, food is not much a problem because our members bring food to the house. Dennis knows this. They bring us bags of rice. We have food. So why should my child have sickness that have to do with lack of food? So immediately we discovered that this is the enemy. Myself and my husband, we held this child. We've not been really praying for her. We just thought it's a normal sickness that will go with drugs. And when we rebuke the enemy, say, we cast you out in the name of Jesus, whether your name is ulcer or what, whatever name that you are on, and you now come to sap our little money. This is leaking pockets. Whatever little money we put our pocket is leaked out in buying medicines. So we say, no, Satan, this is your handwork. You cannot leak this pocket any longer. We rebuke you. Get out of her in the name of Jesus. Till now, she had finished her university. She has done her master's. She had married. There is nothing about ulcer any longer. You know, this experience helps us to know some sickness, not all sicknesses, some is the direct work of the enemy. So that you will be spending and spending and spending, you know, it's not from God. The enemy also, why do we need this weapon? It's because demonic forces, they want to stop the next generation. Our children are the next generation. Sometimes they go to school and they are initiated. They get into black witchcraft or white witchcraft. They go to voodoo. They enter Freemason. They enter some secret society you would not know. They still follow you to the church, but they are not born again. They are no more Christians. They were born again before, but they are now, they've given themselves to whatever. Sometimes it's peer groups, you know. Book of Lamentation chapter 4, verses 1 to 4 says that the little children that were dedicated in the temples, some of them are now standing on the streets. They are no more dedicated, they are no more consecrated, because the enemy has done some evil upon them. This is why we need spiritual weapons. We need to go into spiritual warfare because of demonic forces that want to stop the next generation. Now, the children that we have, they are tomorrow's generation. They are the people that will take over. You know, as we came in here, we are so happy to see our little small Christopher, you know, playing the guitar, and we saw Catherine, at least when we came here in that 80s, these were small children. But if the enemy goes into these lives, it's a very big problem for the church tomorrow. We will not have people who will stand at the gap. Over there in Nigeria, when we look at our son Chichi, Chichi can drive us from Abuja to our village that takes up to 8 hours. Chichi can, he's the one that handled the projector thing in the church. Before you bring up one topic, he has already shown you Jesus, he's shown you so many things. He's so good in it. And he will sing, he will minister to people, the Holy Ghost healing. I mean, but ponder if the enemy had taken this kind of people, what will be the future of the church? That is why we have to open our eyes. Open your eyes. I know that there are forces that are really attacking and fighting. He fights against our finances, you know. You have a shop, it's not moving. You do this, it's not moving. I had a shop, and it seems it was not moving. The girl in my shop said, Mommy, we have to pray about this shop. We've not sold for almost 2 months now. And that morning, my husband rebuked whatever demon that is blocking customers from buying from our shop. And we prayed about it seriously. That particular day, they sold a lot of things, and they are selling till today. Well, one man of God came to visit me and came to that my shop. As soon as he came, he said, Mommy, are you praying for this shop? I said, what is wrong with the shop? He said, the person opposite you is attacking the shop. I said, how can she attack my shop? But before we know it, we were not selling. But when we pray, we rebuke whatever forces. Do you know that a neighbor can attack you? A neighbor can attack your child. A neighbor, a friend can attack your health. That is why you have to be spiritually equipped. That's what I was saying yesterday, that the church will pray until this place will be too hot for Satan to manifest or manipulate. And that is the prayer I have for you here in battle, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please say that amen better. Amen. And we all, you all, will enter into prayer warfare, you know. On this healing thing, my husband mentioned it the other time, that suddenly the leg started. And how do we know it's demonic forces? It's when he comes to stand at the pulpit, he will preach, he will jump. But immediately he comes down from the pulpit, my leg, we pray about this leg. Oh, even Bible, Chichi used Bible and wrapped the leg. Where it is written, by your stripes. We didn't know where it came from. But when I raised a prayer squad of 9 people, we started praying, and God ministered to us that there is an attack on that leg to paralyze him. Not just the leg, even the eyes. So we started praying. We prayed, we fasted, we did all night prayer. We prayed until I came over here to England. When my girl, Nena, gift was about delivery. So when I came in, they welcomed me. She said, labor has started. I said, no problem, I have come. We are going to pray, you'll have it. I entered the room, my room, I sat on the ground. God, my husband's leg. Satan, pack your load and go. You must leave this leg in the name of Jesus. Nena came in and looked at me and said, Mommy, you have not eaten. What is the problem? I said, anywhere, any house that fire is burning, nobody will be dancing there. So you don't know what is happening. Your father is going paralyzed. I say, yes. Say, God forbid. With her labor, she, you demon, get up. Oh, after a week, then he called us and said he has a miracle. That as he was stepping to the house, after 3 months of severe pain, and tests has been done till they took it to Ghana to test, what is the problem? Nothing. Suddenly, God healed him. So the enemy can attack somebody's health and give you an artificial sickness that you did not have. But when you are equipped with spiritual weapons, which we have read there in the scriptures, which I just want to run through it, you know. It talks about get yourself with truth. What is this truth? This truth is for you to know Jesus. Jesus is the truth. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by me. For you to be able to overcome the forces of darkness, first thing you must know the truth. And who is the truth? The truth is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. You must know him. Since I am not preaching, I don't want to go much into those ones. Number two says breastplate of righteousness, righteous living. You must acknowledge the appropriation that the blood of Jesus has done on you that had made you to be righteous. The Bible tells us that our righteousness is what? It's like filthy rags. It doesn't go any further. You must always acknowledge the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary that has appropriated righteousness on you. And you try your little best to be living for God. And not like those people that Paul met. I mean, who saw Paul cast out demon? They saw somebody, they said, I rebuke you in the name of Paul, the one that Paul is talking about. And they said, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Who are you? You know? So you must live for God. And then the gospel of peace, you know, this has to do with the good news of the Lord Jesus. That has to talk about salvation. You must know this good news. You must know the gospel. Why Jesus came? Jesus came to save sinners. He also came to destroy the works of darkness. So you have power to rebuke the works of darkness because Jesus has done that for us. He talks about the shield of faith. In this issue of rebuking the devil or casting out of demon, you must have faith in God. And Jesus said, if your faith is like the tip of a needle, the mustard seed, just the tip, just a little faith in God, you can say to this mountain, move, and it will move, you know. So you need that shield. That shield you have against the devil is your faith in the Almighty God, who specializes in all impossibilities. So you just have that little faith. Don't want to find out whether it will happen or not, you know. God taught me that very early after our marriage. The next week, he left for a crusade. And one of our brothers ran to the parsonage. He said, my pastor, my wife is sick. She said, you should come and pray for her. I said, no. Pastor is not in. Pastor has gone for crusade. He's not in also. Who is going to say you? You come and pray. I said, no. The pastor is not in the house. The man left. He came back. Said, my wife said, come and pray. What was my problem? A very young pastor's wife. Will God hear me? How am I going to pray? For this? If I pray, she's not healed. What will happen? So I will not pray. Let pastor alone has a faith. Let him come and pray. He came the third time. He held my hand. Please, ma, come and pray for my wife. He lived near us. So we crossed the road. I went reluctantly. When we got there, I look at this woman. Oh, master, I said, have you gone to hospital? Pray for me. I said, did you take any tablet? Pray for me. I was asking questions. She held my hand, pray, and laid my hand on her tongue. I said, oh God, I beg you. Have mercy on this woman. Even if I have no faith, use her own. And heal this woman. The way she cried before I knew, she rolled on the ground. Then I knelt down. I touched that tummy. I remember how pastor used to pray. I said, come out of her in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I want to tell you, that was Talking of Macaulay's wife, it's just peace be still. She was instantly healed. I said, so I can pray for. So I can pray for the sick and the sick. In fact, since that day, I have been living on that faith. Whatever sickness that somebody has, I don't want to know whether you will be healed or not. What I know is that I have a God that healeth. I will lay hand and pray, and I have seen so many miracles happened. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Have you forgotten? I say, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay. And then it talks about the helmet of salvation. This helmet is your salvation. Your salvation is like a helmet, a covering for you, that the devil himself will see and see Jesus in you and will not stay, will have to flee away. So it's very, very important. We are talking about those who want to go into warfare and cast out demons. He talks about the sword of the Spirit, which has to do with the word of God. You have to be accustomed to what God is saying concerning sickness, concerning problems of people. And that means read the word of God. Quote it into yourself. Be able to speak it out. Teach it out. Preach it out. Joshua told the children of Israel, he said, hang it on the door. Hang it on your chest. Teach your children. The word of God is very, very important. You can speak to the enemy and say, look, this is what God says. He says, I am the God that healeth thee. So you have no power to stay here. Get out in the name of Jesus. You can rebuke the unclean spirits and say, get out. Jesus came to destroy your works. And so you have no power to stay here. So you need to be very conversant with the word of God, which is the sword of the spirits. The next one is prayers and supplication. They are all weapons of warfare against the Satan. Now, let us look at some of their manifestation. My husband spoke about one of it yesterday, the one of the madman. When he saw Jesus, he shouted, Jesus, that son of the Most High God, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. I had that experience in my house. I was cooking one day, and I was told that somebody is looking for me, that a very important government official. If you see this woman, you will think that she is a senator. This woman, even her handbag was very expensive. You know, there are people you look from their head down, you know that these are not small people. With heavy gold on her ears and her neck, everything was almost a very fine woman. I peeped and saw her, so I washed my hands properly, washed the onions. Clean my hand. Pass the other side. Look for a small cream. Because I'm going to meet a big woman. As soon as I got to the parlor, the next thing is Nkechi. Nkechi. Nkechi is the name of demon. Don't talk to that woman. Don't talk to her. Don't talk to her. Don't talk to her. She's dangerous. She's dangerous. Immediately I knew. I was so shocked. Such a fine woman with intimidating personality was full of devils. So I went to her. I said, keep quiet. We prayed on that head. I didn't touch that head. Because the Spirit of God did not give me release to do that. Because the demons were still there. So after much prayer, I made her. Okay. Begin to speak now. Who are you? Now begin to mention who she was. This is demon still speaking, not this woman. And how he managed to enter her body. And the husband they gave her to marry was not a real husband. She said so many things, and finally she fell off. When she woke up, she knew herself. She said, oh, where am I? Where am I? Where am I? I said, you are, who brought you in this house? He said, somebody told me to come here that you pray for me. She become a normal human being. And God caused the hair that they took in the demonic world. But she said she woke up one day, she didn't find hairs again on her head. No hairs. That was not the only one. When I had a program in Lagos with Mrs. Mpamugo, I met a young girl of 18 years old whose hairs had also been taken by demonic forces. Not even a strand of hair. Prayed with her, prayed and prayed. The next day, I fasted with her. Some of these things, you must be ready to fast and pray. Must be ready to fast. Either you miss your breakfast completely from 6 to 12 and pray to deliver somebody. Or you miss, I discovered that missing dinner is a very serious problem. Yes, because I have tried it to miss dinner in fasting. In the night, my stomach will be making noise. I could not sleep. But you can do that sacrifice to save somebody. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So that woman was delivered. The one in Lagos too was delivered, and hers started on her head. Demons did this so that they wouldn't get married. Somebody did that. You know, Jesus said, an enemy has done this. So there are enemies. The other one that we also discovered manifestation was that the boy, the demon threw him on the ground and rolled him up and down. The disciples were not able to cast away, you know. And it was told Jesus that this boy was brought, but the disciples couldn't cast out the demon. Jesus said that this kind, some of them has to go through fasting and prayers. And he rebuked it and cast it away. So some of them can manifest in that form. How do you know that even somebody has some demonic problem? Some of them are speechless. They don't talk to anybody. They are on their own, even in the church. Every time. You hardly see them smile. They are not happy. And it is worse when it has to do with a child. You know, once when I ministered concerning these forces and children, I spoke to parents. If your child comes back on holiday and you see your child looking so morose, so weak, and it doesn't associate again as before, he just take to himself or herself. Try to find out something is wrong. And if he or she refuses to talk, go into prayers. Pray, and God will expose whatever has happened. And just as my husband said the other day, some of them, they wouldn't wear, they have special days. Maybe they have to wear only black. Maybe every Friday you see them from black to black. You know, some of you must have known about Emma, because I know she gives that testimony around. That was how she was. She was on her own. She wears those black until we went to that house. And then Graham told us about her. We prayed with her, and God gave her deliverance. She started talking about those little things that she put herself into. So we watch out. Some of them have special color at certain times. Some don't associate. Some look very gloomy. Some are quickly upset and ready to fight. Even in the home, you see them. Very little thing that should not cause fight. They are ready to fight and cause a lot of stir. Something is wrong with that child. And you have to follow up. Don't say, well, it's my little child. No, when he grows up, as he's growing with demonic tendencies to even cause problem in your family. So what do you do? Begin to pray for such a child. And some of them too, we have what they call spirit husband. There are some women after marrying, because we deal with this thing, I deal with women. I don't know whether it happens here, but human beings are human beings. Every night, they have a man that will come and have an affair with them. And with this, they can't conceive, they can't have a child. Every night, sometimes the person will come with the face of their husband and come and sleep with them. They call them spirit husband. It's not of God, it's demonic forces. Demonic forces. You have to. Such a person will have to confess and say, see what I am passing through. Because one thing the enemy does with them is that it makes them to be quiet and not to open their mouth and say, Pastor, see what I am seeing. See what.
Interrupt you there, because I just want to unpack that. Because when Gracefield told me about this spirit husband thing the first time, I thought she's absolutely mad. You know, we're not going to deal with this sort of thing at Battle Baptist Church. This is not decent. Because what she was describing is a sort of a night visitation where a spirit will come and have a sexual encounter with someone in their bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, it's ridiculous. You know. They don't tell you about this at Spurgeon's. So is it right? Anyway, and then somebody who was coming to the church came to Pat and I, and in the course of all the unpacking, this was happening to this woman. And so this was one of the things that first opened my eyes to this, because I thought, well, this is exactly what I've heard about in Nigeria. I didn't think this sort of thing happened here. And then when we prayed with the lady, but we've since discovered that if people break down their reserve, this is not as uncommon as you might imagine. You know, it's certainly something that happens in this country. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
no,
I just felt that I needed to unpack that in a way that people would probably understand.
Okay.
Because yeah, I think sometimes in Nigeria you call this night visitor, don't you? Night visitation, mm-hmm. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
But it's that sort of dream or visitation, call it what you will, where people feel that in their sleep they have been sexually violated.
I know that it's not normal.
It's not.
It's not normal, you know. We had a crusade somewhere in Nigeria, and the man that owned that compound, that house, very big house, the man that owned it was a member of a secret cult. Whether Freemason or whatever, witchcraft, they are all secret cults. And that particular house, all the children that this man had left the place. No human being go there. Because if you go there, you hear doors open, bam, bam. You hear footsteps. You don't know who is this person. So if you go there, you'll be so afraid, you'll not like to stay in that place, you know. But we had a crusade there, and my husband was a speaker. Pastors went to stay in that place. The first night, the door started opening and closing. Movement started up and down. Fear came. They gathered themselves and said, who is this demon? This man had died since. Why should his demon be disturbing? So it was a very huge prayer. Prayer was offered and cast that demon out. And today, the family have now gone back to that. They left that house for years. Grass and everything covered. But today they had gone back because there is power in the name of Jesus. So people hear voices. They hear sound. But they are afraid to come. You know, these things, you know, when we preach, we do. In Nigeria, we bring it up. If you are in this condition, you know what the devil is doing, people will come out. And they will say it. Sometimes not going to be before everybody, like as you have a prayer team, they will have to pray themselves hot to handle this thing. Have a special time for this, and they come out, and they are prayed for. In fact, some comes before the whole church. This is what I'm facing. Pray for me. And the whole church will pray, and that demon must obey, you know. Some have devil's images. Demon images with them. My husband mentioned it yesterday. Dennis talked about it too. Their images, when they, some people had entered into these things, maybe they are given a book to read. Is it seven something of Moses? Seven books of Moses. Books on, you know, the other man I preached to at 18 and had Grail message. The message books, 3 volumes. He said he wants to give me to go and read. I said, okay, give it to me. But preach to him. He gave his heart to Christ. I came back and burnt those books. So some people have things like that. Even when they had come to give their heart to Jesus, sometimes they still go to read those things. They put it in their shelf. Because we have prayed for one girl once, and she used her mouth as the devil used her to speak. That she has to return my property before I go out. I am not going out until you give me my property. What is your property? My book. We said, okay. We prayed for her when she came back to her normal sense. Which book are we hearing now? She went and brought the book. And when we burnt it, she had freedom. Some of those images of the Buddhist people, all these kinds of religion. There are so many things people put themselves in. I think year before last, somebody invited us to come and receive a peace. How do they call it? It has to do with peace. If there is problem anywhere, you are known as a peaceful person. It's a sort of honorary something given to us, peace award. So we went there, my husband. It's when we really know that devil is in control. All kinds of religions were complete there. The Buddhists came, they did their own. And then the Chinese one was the one that my husband said, let's go, we can't take this one. The man came in with his regalia like a juju priest. We say, what is this? This is real devil in this place. All kinds of Mason people, those in Mason, those in Amok, all kinds of things, Lodge, Freemason, and top people of this world, they were there. They want to get ambassador of peace. My husband said, let's go. I was saying, let us really watch. He said, no. We are not meant for this place. There was a bishop that came to also pray as a Christian. The Muslim came to pray. The one in Judaism man came to pray. Shinto came to pray. Confucianism came to play. Buddhists, Hindu, we had to leave that place. All these things that people put themselves into, they are connecting themselves to demon spirits. We pray that God will help us not to get involved in these things. Devil's images, properties, snake that has to do with mermaid spirit. All these things, some even using them draws, attracts the enemy to yourself. So as I said, how do we get them off? How do we break curses on people? How do we deliver them? Prayers, fasting, equipping yourself with the weapons of warfare that we have read about to break these curses. As I said, number one is pray yourself hot. Be sure you are saved. When you are saved, you get yourself equipped with all that we have read about weapons of warfare. Prayer. And then, because if you don't pray, we who are into deliverance ministries, sometimes, if you don't really pray well, you are delivering this one and they start to cause problems in your home. It has happened to us. A parent brought the son to us. So we asked him, what is the problem? He refused to say it. We started praying for the boy. He said the boy normal is a witch, a small boy of 9 years. Somebody gave him witchcraft, one of the house assistants that they had. So he left the child there and went back. We started praying for this child. We prayed the second day with fasting. He now fell on the ground and began to move like a snake. Brought out his tongue on the ground. He went out and he came in. We were still bleeding the blood of Jesus. We call fire. Fire of God. Consume the spirit of the devil, the enemy, the snake, whatever snake spirit, whatever is on this child. While we were praying for him, God's will, my last boy, who is in Ukraine now, is a student there, was sick. He had a fever that nobody can stop him. The doctor came and gave him a drip. He treated him. While I was busy in the church praying for this one, my own is here dying. God gave a revelation that this demon, as we are praying here, the demons are now attacking to kill this one. So, I have to leave this one and went to God's will. We started praying with my husband and other people in the church. We cast out this fever that refused, the temperature refused to come down. We prayed that night. God delivered this other one called Obong. And then he said, hey, Indian soldiers, feel this compound today. In fact, they dealt with the witches and wizards that were possessing him, that he's free now. In fact, they came to kill God's will. But they couldn't kill God's will. God delivered him, and as we faced our boy and prayed, our boy came back. But that was not the end. The following morning, Chichi and Obo, the medical student, my son, they came back that they had prayed. And they had a dream how God's will died. So that's why they are coming from the school to see God's will. What is happening? We said, this is what happened though. He was almost dead though. The devil was still had not seen them the hand. This boy that we God has delivered. Now told my son, the devil's will. I am going to get you ahead now. So why? I just came back. Do we have a fight and we quarrel with you? He said, no, I'm going to do it. Before Gabriel knew it, he carried Gabriel from the head. All this is a kind of fighting because this person has been. Then Gabriel strengthened himself and also carried. So what I'm saying is that you have to equip yourself as you go into deliverance ministry. Because the enemy is not happy. As this one is getting delivered, you want to fight back. You are home. Don't suddenly lay hand. Pray loud. Deliverance ministry is not what you pray inside your tummy. You open your mouth and rebuke and say, I rebuke you, I cast you out in the name of Jesus. Finally, let the victim renounce the whatever, because there must be a confession. After that confession, let him renounce whatever he or she puts herself into. From today, I have nothing to do with you. I am a child of God. I've given my heart to Jesus. I have nothing. If he's an unbeliever, help the person to know Jesus. And then renounce those things. If he has any property of Satan, he should bring it out. And then there'll be prayers. And the church will get this thing burnt. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ask us questions.
Before the question, let me just add one or two things. Very fast. One is that we must know that everything on earth has ear to hear. We must know it. Everything on earth has ear to hear. You know, our Lord said, let him who has an ear to hear, let him do what? Let him hear. And that was the reason why, one of our sons said, let the head hear his voice. You know, everything has ear to hear. If it is a tree, trees have ears to hear. Jesus spoke to the fig tree and said, from today henceforth, let nobody eat fruit from you and forever. Did the tree hear? The tree heard and withered. At another time, the Pharisees were angry that Jesus was being praised. People were singing. And they told the disciples, shut up, everybody close your mouth. And they told Jesus, tell your disciples to close their mouth. He said, well, you do that work. If you succeed, I'm going to speak to all the stones around to start praising God. And they will hear and they begin to praise the Lord. And he said, we shall say to this mountain, be thou removed. Mountain may not be a physical mountain, but spiritual forces, things that want to stand on our way in serving the Lord. Elisha, when he went with the students of the Bible to cut wood, to enlarge, to build their house, the iron, the axe head fell off, went inside. Elisha said, where did it fall? They showed him. He spoke to the iron and dropped a stick there, and the iron obeyed and came out. So that everything has ear to hear. I just told Dennis of an incident that happened in our house last year. A girl in our church, she had been following the parent coming to church, but she was not saved. The parent never knew that she's being possessed by a demon spirit. And this demon spirit is the spirit of theft, spirit of stealing. If she entered your house, the demon would tell her exactly where you have money or something precious that she can steal. She would just go there and pick it. So she came. I was just preparing coming over here and to go to U.S. Somehow, our children were in the room. Nobody knew when she just came inside the house, walked into our bedroom, picked my phone, my iPhone, and walked away. And she came very far distant. Here we were, almost suspecting the members in the house. And how can I begin to suspect my children and people living with me, whom I know are godly children? We started thinking about, is it our security men who came in to do this kind of a thing? But we never know that the person who came and stole the phone came about 12 miles away, Cuba. The Reverend Dennis knows the place. So I was so crossed for somebody to have the audacity to enter my room and pick my phone. So the Sunday before I went to preach, I told my wife, I said, this is an embarrassment. And I want God to do something. We held hands together. We said, dear God, it's an embarrassment for somebody to walk into the room of your servant without an iota of fear and carry away my phone. So, Lord, I want you to arrest the person. And beginning from today, let the person continue to be stealing and stealing until the person will be arrested and be brought to this same house to confess so that we'll deliver the person. So I left my wife, who traveled the following day, came down here. I was in Coventry. I left on Monday. On Wednesday, my wife called me. She said, darling, guess what? I said, well, just tell me because there are many things to guess. She said, the girl who stole your phone is here in the parlor with the parent. How did it come about? The girl went as we prayed. God's spirit now came upon her to go and steal more and more. Not the one of the devil.
She stole from Virgin Mary.
So she stole, went to the church, the Catholic church stole, and she was now arrested by the police. The police came to search the house of the parent. In the process of searching the house, they saw this, my phone. And the father is a full member in our church. Immediately the father touched the face of the phone, my picture came out. The man shouted and said, how did you get the phone of our sister? And the man said, no wonder you are now stealing everything. The superintendent must have released a curse upon you to keep on stealing. And so the only way out for you, let's go to his house so that you confess and they pray for you. So the parent brought her to her house to meet my wife and teaching. They started praying. Even after they had finished praying, the man was not okay. He said, anytime Reverend Uche comes back, I am going to bring you here. And he did. When I returned back, he brought the girl. We prayed again, and the Lord delivered the girl. Praise the name of the Lord. So sometimes we can see our children doing the wrong thing, stealing, you know, living immoral life. Whatever I think you talk, they don't want to listen. It could be that there is a certain kind of influence, satanic influence over them. And when we take authority, the Lord will set them free. Any question?
I want to add to the church. Somebody can come, can be in our midst, and then the devil decides to use the person to scatter the church.
Yes.
Start sowing discord. Begin to say wrong things. You know, this tongue, the Bible says, has the power of what? Life
and death.
Pushing. Maybe there is a statement the pastor made at the pulpit. Did you hear what he said? The enemy has come in. And so, before you know, quarrel has started. This one will not talk to this one. You know that when this kind of trouble comes in, it's a satanic influence. And what should the church do? There's no need of quarreling with each other. It's for the pastor to call for prayers and let everybody pray and cast out the spirit, the demon of division and confusion from the church.
Please feel free to ask questions if there is any area you want us to throw more light on. We are free to ask questions.
Thank you.
mentor, Reverend Omoh, he invited me for a crusade. And this was in Lorraine. We've returned from that crusade. After I slept, was not long, I saw a black object, you know, with my natural eyes. The black object was coming, and I saw hands. The hands were tiny fingers, you know, like nails coming down to grace me. I tried to shout the blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus. My voice would not come out. My voice was inside me, but I struggled. I was saying, the blood of Jesus. And then I broke off. I started praying. You know, when I started praying, there were no more two heads of my own, because my mind was a very strong prayer warrior. He also started praying, you know, rebuking, with cast out everything. And that was it. Throughout the 1 week I stayed there, such a thing never repeated again. Okay. Yes, sir.
Can you pray for someone who doesn't want to be prayed for? Otherwise, they will leave the room. They don't want to receive that kind of prayer. They're frightened, so they leave the room. Can you then still pray for them? Not for them. Pray as spirits.
No, I don't get you very well, please. If the children, if they are fearful, you know, you pray for them that God should take away fear. The scripture said that God has not given us the spirit of fear or intimidation, but the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. We pray for them that God should take away fear. But I'm trying to see how that connects. Because Dennis.
I think if I understand you rightly, what you're saying is, supposing you offer to pray for somebody and they say, well, I don't really want to, I'm too frightened. And then I think your question was... Yeah, I think what I would probably do is say, well, I would just sort of pray a holding prayer over them and just pray that God would continue to show himself to them until they come to that point where they want to give themselves, you know, more fully to Christ. We had a sort of incident a bit like this some years ago. There's a lady who lives a little bit up that road a while. In fact, that's not a great road. We've had two or three problems up that road. Once we get past your house, you're obviously there. But this particular woman, the problem was doors opening, people seeing visions, sort of demonic presence on the stairs. And her kids had started seeing this sort of thing. So I went round there. I think I went round there with Danny Pritchard and we prayed and the rest of it. And anyway, everything was all right for about 6 months. And I've got a feeling we went in three times to this house. And the last time I said to this lady, look, because she said, oh, it's lovely. She said, you come and we have peace for about 6 months. And then it all starts again. And in the end, I said, well, look, I'm sorry to tell you this, but it is going to start again. Because until you actually come to Christ yourself, we can come and pray and we do a bit of firefighting and sort of drive the spirits back, as it were. But until you actually yield yourself to Christ, you're given this demonic presence a landing stage. She never asked for us again. I mean, we weren't nasty about it, but just saying, you know, this is the real problem. I've got a distant relative of mine who I see on Facebook. I've never met this guy, but I've told him via Facebook messaging, really, that, you know, he has all these night problems, demonic visitors, and the rest of it. And he got the local vicar in. But on Facebook, he said, we got the vicar coming this week, and we got the spiritualist coming next week. And you think, well, I mean, I don't know who his vicar was, but I wouldn't have just gone round and done the place myself, you know? Because it's just, I think they're sort of looking at it from a superstitious point of view. But I said to this man, because, where's Melvin? I tell you who this guy is. It is a, you remember Uncle Mick who died a year or two ago? It's one of his grandsons. And he said, when I first got to talk to him on Facebook, he said, I have this vision of a man coming into my room at night, and he's in military uniform. And I've had this for years and years and years. And when I was a little boy, they thought it was, they thought I'd got a mental illness. Well, immediately, the Holy Spirit just ministered to me and said, and just described who the man was. It was the late grandfather. I mean, you knew, it was, as soon as I said, you knew it was going to be, didn't you? So I said, look, I said, it's very strange that you've sort of got in contact with me on Facebook. I said, I'm probably one of the only people alive who actually not only knows the identity of the person who's coming to see you, but knows what to do about it. I said, I'd love to meet up with you and all the rest of it. It's very interesting that every time I've wanted to meet this bloke, he doesn't want to meet me. But he pops up again. Now, those of you who know Facebook, we know sometimes when I update my status, he just pops up. He lets me know he's there. He lives about 5 miles down the road. But I'm absolutely certain he needs deliverance. That if he has deliverance, and if he comes to Christ, he will be free. And and it was interesting because my own testimony is that why this spoke to me was because this is how I came to Christ. Because when I was about 13, I used to have repeated dreams about my grandfather who died when I was about 10. And evidently, when he was dying, he said there's only one person in the family that was anything like him at all, and it was Dennis. And I had this very vivid dream that I was standing at the edge of his grave, by his grave, and somebody came up from behind and pushed me in. And I woke up before I reached the bottom, but somehow the Holy Spirit told me that had I reached the bottom, I would have ended up in hell. Well, it was enough to get me into the kingdom of God, really. But so I think God can speak very powerfully. And I suppose because that's how I came to Christ, I've always been aware of this. Chris, do you want to tell the church that story you told me about the voodoo doll? Yeah, just come and tell us, because I didn't know this until a day or two ago. I think it may have even come up after you spoke yesterday. You told me this. Did you tell me this morning or yesterday? This was really interesting.
Okay. Someone in the church, I was a lot younger, and I didn't really know about this. I was very ignorant. I was very young and didn't really cross my mind. Then somebody in the church got a gift brought to them back from Africa. Right, it was a voodoo doll. That's what it was. And it was given to Mum because they didn't know what to do with it. And Mum thought, right, put it in a bag. So it was in a bag, and you put it down the garden, down the side, didn't you? It was going to be destroyed, but it didn't. It was down by a drain pipe. Down by this drain pipe. And I didn't know it was there, but I had nightmares about it. But I didn't know it was there. But I had specific nightmares about it. And then I told Mum, I said to Mum, what have you got down the side of the house? And that's when she realised it's the doll having an influence on me, even though I didn't know it was there. And then you burnt it, didn't you? And then I was fine.
I think sometimes to our Western minds, this sort of thing sounds really strange. And I know, I remember the very first evening you talked to me at length about this. I'd got a book with me called Down the Line to Tunbridge or something. It was a book about steam trains. And I can remember going to my bed when you were living in Eckett by lamplight, looking at this book on steam trains and thinking, thank God I've got something normal that I understand about, because I certainly don't understand any of this stuff. And in that book, I wrote in the front of that book, Dennis Nolan, Eckett, 1987. I often think of it when I get it down. But it sounded so strange to me. And yet I'd, you know, even then, even in the 1980s, I'd been a Christian for quite a long time. And, you know, I want us to pray as a church that when we come across satanic things, we will know what to do. I want you to pray that as a church, the elders who often are in the forefront of this would have understanding. I want you to pray, especially for Francis. You know, Francis, both here and at the Crowhurst Home of Healing, comes across a lot of this sort of stuff. And we need God's protection. We need God to be guiding us forward. We need God to be setting people free. And I think
it's not always
at the absolute. No. I think the lesson we learn from this is, and again, we're not great at this as a church. One of the things I've done the last two times we've been to Soul Survivor is that I've spoken to one or two of the young people and said, because there's normally time for ministry every meeting at Soul Survivor, and I said, every time they give an appeal for prayer, I want you to come and pray for me. Mark did this last year. In fact, one of the kids, I'm not sure it was Chris or Katie, said to me, or may have been Pat, said to me yesterday, she said, "Oh, you actually appear to be getting excited about something." And I don't know if you remember this, but do you remember I asked you to pray specifically for that for me last year? Because I traced it really back in my own life to when Andrew was born, the disappointment of his disabilities and all the rest of it. And I have found it very, very difficult in the last 20 years ever to be excited about anything. So I think most people in the church do not associate me with high emotion one way or the other. And I said to Mark last year, I really want you to pray about this, because it's obviously not normal to go through life not feeling or rarely feeling. And so, you can take some encouragement from that I'm just starting to feel excited about this and that, so that's quite good. But where I'm going with this, I'm saying, all of us, because we live in a grubby world, as John has said, we're not living at the extremes of voodoo dolls and spirit husbands every day of our lives. But because we live in a grubby world, I think this is why all of us need to have prayer ministry. We need to be on the receiving end of it. And for me, going away to a summer festival is a good opportunity to go for prayer where I've no responsibility for any of the meetings and just say, I want to be prayed for. I want to be blessed. I just want more of God. And so I would encourage all of you on a Sunday, you haven't got to have been like the woman at the well, had five husbands and not been married to any of them before you come to Jesus. I think we can come as believers on a regular basis and say, Lord, I just want to be filled with the Spirit again. I want to receive joy again. I want I want a touch from you. So I would encourage you to do that, because it is good that in the church there are lots of opportunities for prayer ministry. And I have to say, it is a huge disappointment often when you give an invitation for prayer ministry, and hardly anybody moves. And you know, as a pastor, you just know that people in the congregation have got heartaches or problems. And really, what you want to say is, you know, come to God, come and have another drink, come and ask for the Holy Spirit yet again, because the Spirit of God will give you the power, the enthusiasm. The Spirit of God will give you the ability to be overcomers in today's world. And I think that's the big advantage. I think, again, we're into this mindset, oh dear, I can't go for healing because I've not got a terminal complaint, or they think I'm going up again, I'll be one of those people who reply all the time, respond to every appeal. But I don't know, I think to be equipped for ministry in today's world, we need that. I mean, I think one of the things that I quite like about this our 6:30 service is that there's very often time in that for unhurried ministry. We had a lovely Sunday two nights ago. I don't know what on earth time the preacher got on. It was quite late because there was sort of three quarters of an hour, probably almost an hour, of prayer and just people just praying for one another. Just after 7:30, was it, we got round to the word. So we'd had about an hour. And I think those are blessed times. I appreciate you can't always have that unhurried approach in every meeting, but there is the need for it. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And God will change situations, like the story about the phone. You know, God can work in the minutiae of our lives, or the story about the shop and just praying for the release of customers and all the rest of it. You know, one of the things we do from time to time on a Friday morning at the Friday morning prayer meeting is to pray for all the people in the church who are self-employed. Because if you don't get customers, you've got no money. If people don't pay their bills on time and they're using you as a free loan service, you know, how can you move forward in your own life? And I think we need to be aware that there are spiritual forces that are just trying to stop people moving forward in their life and in their business. Anyway, that was a great time. And what time's the evening tomorrow? I look at the ladies, because is it 7:30? Can I just ask a technical question about tomorrow night? I know there are going to be puddings. Is that organised? Lovely. I didn't know how that was working. Lovely. And then we're going to do... Are we casting out the spirit of gluttony the next... Yes. Any puddings left over will be gratefully received by Andy on Friday. Why don't we just pray to close our meeting? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the things that we have been learning this week. We want to thank you for the different emphases that Gabriel and Grace would have been able to bring out. We want to thank you, Lord, for how time and time again they've referred us to the scripture, not just the New Testament, Lord, but a lot of what they have said and the illustrations they've used, they've brought out from the Old Testament as well. We thank you for the whole counsel of God that you've given us there. We thank you, Father, that you've probably given us all something to think about this evening. And we want to pray that you'd help us to more effectively be your servants here in battle. We want to pray that we would see people released from demonic bondages, from all the things that the devil has tried to do to spoil their lives. We want to pray, Lord, that where people have been sidetracked in life from following you, that you would call them back into your service. We want to pray, Lord, that where the devil seems to have wrapped chains around people to bind them, we want to pray that you would bring freedom. We want to pray, Lord, that where the evil one entwines around a person and almost squeezes the life out of them like a python, Lord, we want to pray that people would be released from that sort of bondage as well. And so we pray that you would continue to perfect the church here, so that when you shall return again, you will find a people here ready, waiting, eagerly awaiting the appearing of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a little reminder for that tomorrow morning, our friend Francis is leading an Ascension Day service at what time? 7:30 to 8:00. Followed by a light breakfast, which I am now going to...